Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. How many want supper? Amen. Glory to God. My mother, when I grew up, never came into my room and said, what would you like for dinner tonight? You know? She'd say, dinner's ready. Sit down and eat everything that's on your plate. Yeah. I never liked cheese when I was a kid. And the reason I didn't like cheese is because I never tasted it. But once I tasted cheese, hamburger isn't enough. It's got to be a cheeseburger. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel a kindred spirit here. You came, you don't know what's going to be served, but I'm telling you, I know for sure that it's going to be good for you. Amen. Would you preach with the preacher? Amen. Brother East, would you come?
I would like to read from the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And verse number 35. Chapter 8, verse number 35, page 167. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you can be seated. Thank you. It is indeed a pleasure to be here. I have really grown to love Wisconsin. And I love your church. And it goes without saying that I love your pastor and his wife. When I read these five verses in Romans, it always makes me think, because it names just about everything or every situation that you can name. And it says that none of these, nothing high, nothing low, No creature, no power, no kind of a circumstance, famine, nakedness, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. So how do people get separated from him? Because it does happen. And we find every excuse or every reason in the world to say why people lose their relationship with God or stop doing the thing. None of that matters. The truth is, your relationship with God is a personal one. It is you and God. At the close of day, it's not you, your wife, and God, or you, your children, and God. It's you and God. That's all there is to the relationship. Every one of us has this personal thing going on with God that is unique just to he and I. And there's this place down inside my spirit, my heart, that no one can get into it. Even my wife, the closest thing to me, she can't get into that place that I've reserved for just me and him. And I've given him access to it so that he can get inside and see everything there is to see. No one else can go there. And every one of us have that unique relationship. So we are unique to God. And yet, I looked at the news last night. I always catch it a day or two after it happens because I can take my time and I can hit the pause button on my computer and back it up if I want to fuss about something or if I want to stop it. And so last night I was looking at the news and it was late and I saw the polls that came out that were taken about Christianity, the Muslims, the agnostics, atheists, and it was shocking to see that in 7 years that Christians, the growth of Christians, had shrank by 7.8%. And yet, the agnostics had grown by 50%. The Muslims had grown by almost 1%. And you think that here in America, that should not be. Why is that happening? And what is going wrong? And then things like that I've mentioned so many times all over the country before, that statistics revealed that 70% of all high school kids in the apostolic movement are leaving the church after they graduate high school. Those are numbers that if you allow them, they'll depress you. So what is it that is separating people from the love of God? You see, if nothing can separate us, and if no weapon formed against us can prosper, what's going on? Well, the catch is that we don't have anything locked up. We're not on the streets of gold yet. We haven't walked through the gate yet. We're still here. There's still things we've got to face. I listen to the things. NAV and the KJV and the NKJ, all these acronyms. We didn't have all that stuff. We had the old King James Bible. That's all we had. And so I was trying to learn it, trying to understand it. I just couldn't get it. But I kept with it. I'd made my mind up when I came to God. I'm not leaving here. Something happened to me. I cannot tell you anything about Nebuchadnezzar. I couldn't even pronounce that. I can't tell you about Nebuchadnezzar. And I don't know anything about Zerubbabel. I couldn't pronounce that either. Took me a long time to get that one. And Beelzebub and all that other stuff. I didn't understand. And all of it seemed like, what were they talking? Did these people really talk like that? And I didn't understand that. But one thing I knew, that something that night had taken place in my life that had never happened before. I had never felt anything like that in my lifetime. And I had, in my year, I was married, had two children, and one in the hopper. So I had a family.
things I never should have been in, done things I shouldn't have done. Some, I had kind of climbed the mountain and seen the coon. I wasn't just in the dark. And that night, when that happened, and it was totally it was not orchestrated, wasn't planned. I didn't get up that morning and say, tonight, I'm going to turn my life over to God. Tonight, I thought that was a phone ringing. I had to do that thing. I thought, man, whoever's cell phone that is, they need to take that phone away from me. And I didn't plan any of that morning. In fact, the night before, I had been on a binge. I had been out at a, you know, now they call them clubs and places like that. They make it sound so interesting. And the result's the same. You know, they doctor them up, people dress a little bit. The result's the same. You know, when you're drunk, you're drunk. Doesn't matter what language you speak. When you're doing drugs, you're doing drugs. It doesn't matter what language you speak. you to walk away. And that's the worst mistake you can ever make. Because once he persuades you to do something as asinine as what that is, then the next time it will be easier for him. So you cut him off at the pass. You do the Barney Fife thing. Yeah, I used to watch Andy Greenberg back in the 60s. You do what Barney Fife did. He said, Andy, you got to. So that's what you have to do in your relationship with God. When something is not right, when you are confused, when you are angry and you don't know why, when you are looking for change and change is not what you need, that's when you nip that in the bud, go right back to the starting gate and say, God, I'm back here one more time. I need a trip back to Calvary one more time. I need a refreshing. I need a regeneration. And once you get that, everything looks different. Isn't that amazing? I have experienced that firsthand because the first night I walked in that church, and again, I've said this before, so I'm being redundant. Go look that up when you get home tonight. I like to throw something in there now that you don't know so you can think I know something. I did that one time with a word. Boy, I was slinging it everywhere, and then I went and read it one night myself, found that didn't mean what I thought. I make a fool of myself by myself. I don't need help. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? You're the same way. Ain't nobody can make you shine in the fool's light like you can. And it don't have to be that way. We have the power to change anything. All we got to do is want to do it. And there is nothing, if I can get that in my spirit, nothing. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. I have a made up mind that God, I will not let anything separate me from the love of God. Somebody told me for about the 16th, 17,000th time here a while back, they said, well, you know, I'm not getting fed over at my church. I'm going to tell you, that offends me. I don't like people to even say that to me. Now, if I have a stranger come up, don't know anything about God, that's a different story. But when you have somebody that's been in the body of Christ and has been around the block a couple of times, and they say, well, I'm not getting fed. Duh. Babies get fed. Puppies get fed. When you become an adult, you learn how to pack your own lunch. And you feed yourself. You feed yourself. And the Bible supports that idea. It said, save yourself from an untoward generation. You have to learn how to go to the table and fix your own meal. If I'm going to wait for Jim Schumacher to feed me all the time, I'm going to starve to death. I got to eat something at home, eat something at work. I got to eat something with my relatives. I got to keep being fed. You've got to be on an IV with Jesus Christ to where you got some food flowing all the time. When you do that, you take care of yourself. And then nothing can separate. All you got to do when the devil comes in and starts whispering in your ear, just lean forward and say, see the IV? Take a hike. I'm hooked up to Jesus. And nothing you can say is going to change that. You can't make me mad enough to walk out of the hand of Jesus. You can't call me enough names to walk out of the hand of Jesus. You can't tell this, tell that, or the hell the other to make me walk away from Jesus. I don't come to church because of who's preaching. For God's sake, if that's what you're coming for all the wrong reasons. A lot of people that say, you know, pastor's out of town, who's preaching tonight? Was I supposed to say that? Who's preaching tonight? And we let that be the basis to whether we're going to go to church or not. I don't go to church because of who's preaching. I come here not so I can find God. God should be with me at home. He don't hang out here in an empty building and say, I hope somebody comes tonight.
Come on, folks. You're not in the tabernacle 5,000 years ago where a cloud's going to fill the tent. You are the temple now. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You carry it everywhere you go. So every time one of God's people walks in this building, God just walked in. You see, he walked in the room. He continually is walking in the room because he's not just with us anymore. He's now in us. And everywhere we go, he goes. We carry him like luggage. And so when I get here, I say, well, I'm going down to church to get refreshed. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'll encourage myself in the Lord. That's what David did, and he was at the height of despair. He encouraged himself in the Lord. When you come down here, you know what you're doing? You're coming into the congregation of the believers that are people of like faith. You're coming here to exhort one another, to lift one another up, to pray with one another, to sing together, to worship together, to shout together, to dance together. You're coming here as a congregation to give a corporate worship to God. I'm going down there to get fed. Well, you're going to be anemic, I'm going to tell you. You're going to starve to death waiting for somebody to feed you. And you know, isn't it amazing? You come to church, pastor or evangelist, hopefully, preaches a masterpiece. You got this guy over here, he goes home, he tells his wife, he says, "My God, did you feel that tonight?" She said, "Oh, yeah. It was a masterpiece. I never heard him do that good in all my life." Isn't that wonderful? Then you got a guy way on the other side. He's saying, "Oh, I'm starving to death here. I got to find a place where I can get me some good food." Well, now I want to know what's wrong here. Either this fellow on the other side is a big old liar and he didn't feel nothing, or something's wrong over here on this side. Could it be that it just wasn't what you wanted? Wasn't what you wanted to hear. And you based your opinion upon that. Maybe it was not anything to do with who was preaching. Maybe it was the condition of your spirit when you got here. Maybe you brought some baggage in. Maybe you're like a baby that's trapped inside the womb and the umbilical cord is wrapped around the neck and the throat, and the baby is strangling to death because it's not able to get no air. Maybe you are in a trap. Maybe you are in some trouble, and no matter what's preached, you're not going to like it. But if you can get to Calvary, if you can find a place at the altar, if somehow you can stir up that gift that's within you, if you can find a place to make contact with him, everything will look better in the morning. We will understand it better by and by. It will be better because the problem doesn't lie with anybody else. The problem lies with me. How old are you, hon? 22. Did you know that you could not come to church tonight and say, "Well, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to be done. I'm backsliding. I'm not going back no more." And then you leave and everybody in the church say, "What's your name?" Church didn't say that. I said that. "Your name's Stephanie." And then everybody says, "Stephanie's gone. So what happened to her?" "Don't know. She just backslid the other night." No. Something was happening to her long before that. We're not catching the warning signs. That's why every day is a soul-searching day. That's why Paul said, "I die every day. Every day. Every day I kill myself. Every day I crucify my own flesh. I've got to in order to survive this. So every night when I kill that old flesh, I can rise to walk in the newness of life. One more time. I can walk one more day, one day at a time. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to listen to outside voices. I'm not going to be strayed or called to go astray because of something somebody said. Gossip don't more bother me than the man in the moon. I figure if they're gossiping about you, I'm just getting a rest. Because when they get done with you, they're going to go to somebody else. Next time you're on the freeway, you guy cuts you off or you cut him off accidentally, and he waves at you like they wave nowadays, you need to say, "Yes, hallelujah. And if you're at the red light, God bless you, brother. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There's no trick. There's no ploy. There is nothing that can happen to you that can separate you from the love of God. You have to do that yourself. How can I keep that from happening? I'm going to give you the answer right here. I'm going to tell you how to do it. There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Everybody knows this scripture just about. Do you read good, Stephanie? You read good? Go there. You can find that, can you? 2 Chronicles 7, 14. You're getting close. Found it? There you go. Now, bear in mind why this scripture even came about. This scripture came about because Solomon was in the course of praying after the dedication of this temple. He's praying. Man, he prayed everything imaginable. He was trying to cover every base as, God, I want you. If the people, God, if they go here, if they go yonder, if they turn away, if they fall down, if they stump their toe, if they get involved with this, if they go do idols. He named everything. He said, if they come back, will you? And finally, after he's asked God all these questions, he gets his answer. Are you there now? You ready? What's your name? Who? Chelsea? That's a beautiful name. Not Clinton, the last name, I hope. Okay. It's okay. And so she wasn't ready for that. So after Solomon has prayed all his prayers, you know, can you imagine sacrificing 22,000 oxen? Just let that ramble around in your head for a minute. 22,000 oxen. You couldn't even get in this whole building. You couldn't get more than probably 200 oxen in this building if you got that many. Imagine 100 times that. And he sacrificed every one of them. Do you know what's involved in the sacrifice? Cutting the throat, drain the blood, pull out all the entrails. I mean, we're talking about a mess. But he didn't stop there. 120,000 sheep sacrificed. This guy meant business. And then he prays this prayer. And God, at the conclusion, answers him. Here's your answer. But I'm going to swing it a little bit different than what you're maybe accustomed to hearing it. Go ahead and start reading that. Loud. You got to read loud. I got the microphone here, dear. You don't have no microphone. You got to read loud. Slowly. Oh, slowly, slowly, son. Have you any idea how old I am? All right, slowly. I'm I like her. Does she attend church here? Yeah, okay. Stop. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. See, being called by his name is absolutely essential. Doctrine is of the utmost importance. That's why the bishop in the Old Testament, in the first church, the church in the wilderness, the bishop over that church was Brother Moses. And Brother Moses said, hey, here's the first thing you got to get down in your spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Get that in your spirit. And he said, if you have to put it on the frontlets of your eyes, if you have to paste it over your door, if you have to pin it on your lapel, I don't care what you do, but get that in your heart. Peter said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The psalmist David said that name, that he magnified his word even above his name. So if my people which are called by my name, the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. So being people of the name are vital. If they will humble themselves, number one, And wait, now slow down. Pray, seek my face, one more, and turn from their wicked ways. If they will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Prerequisite. You agree? Everybody in agreement? That's the prerequisite. Something now. What does he say? Oh, stop right there. Then, biggest word in that scripture. Then, pray or humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. Then, I'll do what? Then I will hear from heaven. Do you understand that if you want God to operate in your life, number one, you got to humble yourself. You want to keep your relationship intact, you got to humble yourself. You want the gifts of the Spirit, you got to humble yourself. You want a relationship 7 days a week, every day of the week, every hour of the day, you have to humble yourself. And when you've done these things, then I'll do what? Then I will hear from heaven. So until we do that, God doesn't even hear us. Hello. You say, man, I prayed and prayed. I guess God didn't hear me. He heard you. He heard you. He just didn't hear you like you thought he did. God has this unique way of toning us out. Just like he can forget your sins. You say, that's not possible. Yes, he can forget them. He chooses to forget them. Just like he chooses not to hear you. Until you do that, he does not hear you. That's what that scripture said. If I'm in error, somebody catch me. So you are doing that only to be heard. Woo! Oh, that's powerful. That's stronger than garlic. You're doing that just so you can be heard. And when he hears you then, he'll do something else. What does he do? I forgive your sin and heal your land. That's why that scripture is so vital. And that's why those prerequisites are so vital. God does not speak to proud people. In fact, Peter wrote and said, God resists the proud. That word resist, translated down, means he actively fights against the proud. He resists them. He doesn't hear them, but he gives grace to the humble. So when the humility becomes a factor in your life, you are now in a position where you can carry on a conversation with God. You say, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Yeah, but did you humble yourself first? Did you turn from your wicked ways? Did you lay everything on the altar and say, God, I need some prayers answered. I want to make sure there's nothing stacked up inside here. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not the game he's been projected to be. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. What God required 2,000 years ago, he requires tonight. Yes, we've got troubles. Yes, our land is hurting. Yes, we've got sickness. We've got spirits of infirmity that are killing people. Spirit of infirmity attacking people. Cancer running rampant. We have the answers. But our problem is we got so much junk going on in our personal lives and among each other that all the things we want God to get rid of, we're the ones that's keeping it here. It's not God. It comes as a result of sin, and only God can get rid of it. So he says, if you want me to get rid of it, here's how you do it. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked way. At that point, you get an audience with me. You can ask me to do anything you want. I'll heal your land, and I'll forgive your sin. And when I heal, you know, when he threw that heal your land in there, he's not talking about a personal thing. Now, this has become a corporate matter. It's the will of God for every person in this church to be in health and prosper. That's the will of God. That's scriptural. That is the will of God. If you don't have those things, If I don't have those things, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. We're the ones that have the keys. I preached the Wizard of Oz one time. Dorothy went through all she went through, flying monkeys, all the other stuff. I'll tell you that scene in there of 1939. And no, I wasn't born to watch that. But I watched it later. And them flying monkeys and everything in the Wizard of Oz reminds me of some of the Pentecostal churches. And she's got these red slippers on. And she goes through all this trouble. Man, I mean, getting kidnapped, getting near-death experiences. And finally, at the end, the wizard tells her, who's a joke? The wizard's a fake. If that busted your bubble, I'm sorry. The wizard says, you're going back to Kansas. And he's got a hot air balloon. And somebody, because of the dog, causes the rope to get loose. The balloon, she goes to get Toto, and the balloon breaks loose, and the wizard's going to Kansas. She's not. And she's left standing. I know this is a fairy tale fantasy business, but the point. And so this beautiful fairy comes down to tell her. She says, I just wanted to go home, and the tears are running down her face. And the fairy looks at her and says, Dorothy, you could have went home anytime you wanted to. You had the power all the time. All you had to do, click your heels. You had the power all the time. That's us. We've had the power all along. But something or someone has come between us and what we need to do. And we make a decision to let them do that. And we get further and further and further away from God. And then we think, how am I going to get back? Brother, if you'd preach a little harder, they could all come back. No, they couldn't. Well, if you brought in some hot shot, no, it wouldn't. You have to make a decision. God, I want to go back to the place where you first received me, or I first received you. I want to go back to that place. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. You have the ability right here tonight in this church, Wednesday night. Crowds are always smaller on Wednesday night. Wonder why? Well, shows you the devil's tricks are working, doesn't it? You know, it's just a Wednesday night. It's just a Wednesday night. It's just Friday night. It's just a prayer meeting. There are no just anything in the kingdom of God. Every day is important. Every day. Today is the day of salvation. Well, when is today? Right now. Well, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow will be today. So it's the day of salvation. So every day that you get up is the day of salvation. So how could you count one day worth more than any other? How could you say Wednesday's better than Sunday, or Sunday's better than Wednesday, or Sunday night's better than Monday? No. Every day is the day of salvation. Amen. So every day is important to you as a child of God. Every day. Tonight, Stephanie, tonight's the night you can click your heels. Click your heels and get what you want. And God's waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. So all you got to do is say, God, I want to go back to the old days. I want to renew my relationship. I want to renew it with you, God. I want to feel your presence like I used to. And these problems that have been nagging at me, God, and all this junk that's been going over in my mind, my head, I want to get rid of that. I don't want somebody else's problem to be my problem. I got enough of my own without taking on somebody else's. So tonight I'd like to just do a little cleaning up. God, get rid of all that stuff and just take me back. Take me back, God, to that place where I first received you. First time I ever felt your presence. I remember the day, March 31st, 1968. God changed my life. How many times have I went back and relived that moment? I can't even tell you. But it certainly is a scriptural procedure. That's why it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. 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 This is not something that you get. It's a one-time deal. It's not a come and go. This is something you do over and over and over and over again. And when you've done it for about the last time, do it again. And you'll stay intact. You'll have relationship with God. He'll heal your land. Isn't that beautiful? He'll heal your land. He'll forgive your sin. All you got to do is humble yourself. Pray. Seek His face. Turn from the way that's no good. And you get an audience with God. Then He hears you. Then He hears you. And once He hears you, He'll heal your land. Thank you, Jesus, for that beautiful scripture. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And God, it is what it is. It's just another Wednesday night. But thank you, God, that I'm here for just another Wednesday night. Thank you for letting me be here, God. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for all the blessings, God, you've given me that I took for granted. Thank you for being there when nobody else was. For filling up every void, God, in my old wreck, tore up life. Thank you for being there with me, Jesus. I love you. I trust you. I believe you. You're God. There's none like you in all the earth. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. No one, no thing. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Poverty can't do it. Hunger can't do it. Thirst can't do it. Height can't do it. Depth can't do it. Nothing under heaven can separate me from you. I refuse to be separated. I'm not going to let anger keep me away from the kingdom of God. I'm not going to let jealousy rip away my experience. I'm not going to let pride get the best of me. I won't turn to the things that harm me. I refuse. Nothing can separate me. Nothing. Devil, are you listening to me tonight? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. You're all I need. I don't need anything else. You're the only thing I need. And if I got you, I got everything. I got everything. In the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse to be intimidated by an enemy that's less than I am. Look at my tears, God. They're tears of love and joy. They're tears of dedication. They're tears that tell you I'm going to be here the next time and the next time and the next time. They're tears that tell you I'm not going to stumble and fall.